But if you hear with the ears of faith, if you hear with your heart, you lay a hold of what God is speaking to you, and you run for that and pursue it and embrace it with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, God says more is coming. You will get what I've got for you to have. Glory to God. So let me ask you a question. When we're talking about this stuff, does this apply to salvation, or does it apply to believers growing in the knowledge of God? Yes. How many would say yes? How many would say no? Okay. How many would say, what are you talking about? How many would say both? Both. Absolutely. Absolutely. It can apply to both. I mean, we're talking about people getting saved. You know, they're out there. The Bible says our sins separate us from God. And so we're out there cut off, lost, looking for truth, looking for meaning, looking for salvation and redemption, and walking in darkness because we're separated from God. And all of a sudden His Word comes to us like a seed of life, that Jesus Christ loved us all and individually so much that He died to pay the price for our sins, for John D'Souza's sins, for Missy D'Souza's sins, for Karen's sins. Suffered, bled, and died to pay that price in full, completely, and then rose again from the dead just to prove that He did it, to conquer death, and to give us the proof that we have been reconciled with God if we will simply repent of our sin and put our faith in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. It's a free gift. When you say, God, I'm tired of living for all the garbage and filth and nonsense that has been messing up my life. I'm tired of running from You. I want to come home, Lord. Will You take me home? God says, I already paid the price. Your sins are washed away, past, present, and future. Come, welcome into the joy of the Lord. And He adopts us as our own, and He comes into our heart by His Spirit and gives us a new heart that loves Him and beats for Him, that drinks Him like water and changes us from the inside out. But it comes like a seed, and we have to hear when that calling comes. If we're out there looking for the truth and we're lost in that gospel voice comes, we need to lay a hold of it, because we walk away and say, no thanks, Lord, go die for somebody else. We miss it all. But it also applies to all of us who have received Christ, because God wants to take us to new levels of intimacy, new levels of the knowledge of Him. He wants us to grow from glory to glory, more and more and more, until His glory fills our life. When we're first born again, we're just like an infant, man. We're pooping in our diaper, you know. We're spitting up on everybody's shoulder. We can't quite walk. We can't sit up. We can't even hold our own head up. You know, we're kind of like, whoa. But as we grow in Christ, we become strong and we become soldiers for Christ. Praise God. Isaiah 55:3 says, incline your ear and come to Me. Hear, and your soul shall live. All kinds of good stuff comes from hearing. Praise God. And even for believers, we need to hear too, because we can get stagnant. We can get cavalier and casual with our faith. We can grow lukewarm. I've seen people that I never thought in a million years would get lukewarm for God. All of a sudden, they're just like, you know, yeah, I used to do that stuff. I'm going to get back in there someday. But it's just subtle. We don't even realize it's happening. That's why it says in Hebrews 2:1, therefore we must give them more earnest heed to the things we have what?
Heard,
lest we drift away. So as far as I'm concerned, if God is going to use the same measure with me that I use with Him, then I'm like full speed ahead, pedal to the metal, just, you know, throw off all the stops, let me lay a hold of it. Because I don't want to drift back, man. I want to press ahead. I want more. You guys want more?
Yeah.
All right. Yes, sir. Woo. All right, so number one, more comes by hearing. Number two, more often comes invisibly.
Wait a minute.
Invisibly. Yeah, invisible shopping cart. Invisible. Don't you love that? They are so cute. Oh, man. There's more where that came from. Just, you know, look it up on the internet. Just put invisible under Google, man. You'll be surprised at the stuff they got. More comes invisibly. Mark 4, verse 26, Jesus continued, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. And when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So in this illustration, the man goes out, he spreads a bunch of seeds everywhere, and he goes about his life. Goes to bed, wakes up, eats, drinks, watches TV, falls asleep, sleeps, wakes up, goes to work, eats, drinks, watches the game. You know? And in the meantime, the crop is growing all by itself, but it's invisible. He doesn't see it in the ground when it germinates. Excuse me. Oh my gosh, I burped during a sermon. In mid-word. You didn't begin to see it germinate. I have no clue. You can tell I still have a lot of growing in the Lord to do. It begins to germinate underground. He doesn't see it. Maybe he gets busy in his life. He's going about his business. One day he looks in the backyard and that thing's like 3 feet tall. And so, but it's not ripe yet, so he goes about his business some more. Next thing you know, finally it's ripened, it's ready for harvest, and he gets out a sickle and he reaps in the harvest. Well, I know a lot of you guys are hungry for more, aren't you?
Yeah.
Amen. But you know, you can be praying for more and seeking for more and asking for more, and sometimes just get a little bit discouraged because for a while, nothing seems to be happening. And you're like, God, I'm here, I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking. You promised you'd answer. And God wants you to know, don't get discouraged. He's working in the background. That thing is growing. That thing is germinating. The blade, the head, the stalk, the leaves. It's happening, but you can't see it because it's happening in the spirit and you're in the natural. It's happening in the heavens and you're on the earth, but it's happening. He wants you to know, don't slow down. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Keep pressing in. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep asking, because in the fullness of time, you will reap the harvest. You will reap the harvest. He is faithful. He is true. And what He has promised, He's able also to perform. And He will, in fact, perform. It's just that it's happening invisibly. You know, when I read the history of revival, and we studied some of the massive revivals that took place in the history of the church, where God moved powerfully and poured out His Spirit, and entire, you know, nations were changed. In fact, the entire world was changed as people would go from nation to nation and carry that revival forth, and signs and wonders and miracles would happen, and the Holy Spirit would be poured out, and people were transformed, and just incredible, amazing things would happen. We found out that oftentimes all of that world-changing power came about because a couple of folks in some podunk place in the middle of nowhere got hungry for God and started praying for revival. It's the pattern. Over and over and over, you see it. People whose names you never even heard of before. The Hebrides Island revival that literally shook that place in 1949. People waking up in the middle of the night and walking down the street to get to the church because they were under such conviction. People just falling out on the side of the road. I mean, like, the guy walked out of the church service, there were 600 people out in the front yard crying out to God at 11 o'clock at night. That kind of power was unleashed because two little old ladies decided they were going to pray for revival, and they would not be denied. And so every Tuesday and Thursday, they would pray till 3 o'clock in the morning for revival. And it happens over and over and over like that. The revival in England in 1859 that broke out across there and transformed that place. A couple of young men decided they were going to just get together and pray. And thousands of people got saved in the process. Azusa Street, that brought in God's wave of Pentecostalism that right now is the most thriving form of Christianity on the planet, while Europe is basically going to hell in a handbasket and the churches are empty and they're all swept up with atheism and liberalism. You go to places like South America and Africa and all these other places, Pentecostals are changing the face of history. That all started because a couple of guys on the wrong side of the tracks decided they wanted more of God. They got a taste, they wanted more. So they started, they filled up their little house where they were meeting. In fact, they were meeting on the porch and the porch collapsed. So they had to find a shack, and they found this old warehouse on the other side of town that had been a horse stable, and they had to clean it out. It was gross, and it was a handful of people, and the next thing you know, God poured out His Spirit and people were coming from all over the world. Robert Evans, in the Welsh Revival, decided he wanted more of God. And he single-handedly, pretty much with a couple of young ladies, single-handedly changed the course of history. The people at Azusa Street were hungry because they heard of what happened over in Wales.